Today's Technori podcast is brought to you by MB Real Estate. MB Real Estate is a proud sponsor of Technori. We are a proud sponsor of MB Real Estate, a huge partner. They've helped us and many, many other tech founders find great space in Chicago. If you haven't heard of MB Real Estate, well, you should. You should check out their blog. They have all kinds of interesting tips on how to save money on leasing, how to renegotiate getting out of leases, how to sublease, all kinds of stuff, as well as they had a piece that was recently in Cranes about the rebuilding of North LaSalle, where you saw Bank of America and all these big buildings sort of become empty as they move on to new places in Fulton Market, and what do we do to revitalize the city of Chicago, Central City, and the old financial district. Lots of cool stuff. MB Real Estate, great friend of the show. What else do we have on our show today? Obviously, I'm your host, Scott Catoon. You are listening to the Technori podcast, and anytime I have an opportunity to talk about gaming, it takes me down memory lane, so therefore, I do that show immediately. We don't do nearly enough gaming shows on here, which is surprising given the fact that our resident gamer, Ron Jozen, sits over here. He's my video man, my content manager. We talk about gaming all the time. It's just we don't really bring it to the show. So today we are. Lucas Pash, founder of Fan Home, is here. Lucas, welcome to Technori.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, thank you for coming in, because this is going to let me nerd out on games. So before we do all of that, I want you to just jump right into it. What is Fan Home? Walk us through the experience, and then I just want to like pick your brain on this and like nerd out on what I hate about the current world of sort of esports fandom and what I think is missing, and then what I think is like a huge opportunity, and I want you to be like, you're an idiot, or hopefully tell me it's a good idea and let me invest in your company. That's the idea. Fire away.
Well, hey, I think it's a good idea. So what Fan Home does is we curate these really fun esports viewing experiences at bars and commercial spaces. So, you know, we found that there was this underlying problem in the esports industry. It's that it's huge, it's growing rapidly, but the fans only have a couple of options to really watch their favorite content, right? So they could either stream the content at home on Twitch, which is the Amazon-owned platform where all this stuff is watchable, or you could spend, you know, $1,000 to travel to and buy tickets to live events, which are typically in LA or New York or China or South Korea.
Surprisingly, there's a strong group of gamers in Schaumburg.
Random fact.
Yeah, not a joke. Like Minecraft, like the number four in the world was living there. Mm-hmm. Call of Duty, number one guy for a long time, used to live there back in my day.
Yeah,
which is like 5 years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, not to mention, you know, the first gamer to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated Gamer.
Ninja is a Chicagoland guy as well. You got it. So you know, that problem really stinks because gamers are everywhere. They're in Schaumburg.
Yeah, they're in Schaumburg, Illinois.
And nobody's providing these types of social viewing experiences for them. And esports fans want to consume their favorite content the way that traditional sports fans consume theirs, which is elbow to elbow. Alongside other people who share a love of the game. And one of the reasons people haven't been providing it is because there's a huge misconception about who esports fans are. People have this image of a 33-year-old male who hasn't left his mother's basement in 72 hours.
That's me so far. So you got to divert.
Just covered in Doritos nacho cheese.
I was until I got married. I was rescued from the from the dearth that was my parents' basement, and all the Cheetos were brushed off of my chest, and I was saved.
Well, congratulations on finding the light. But in reality, the fans are, you know, 18 to 35 and have real jobs and disposable income, and they crave this social experience. So we're hoping to bridge that gap and by helping to provide those experiences for them.
So I want to get into this kind of like right into the weeds, because I've got my team of people here. The Technori team is all sitting around the table. We've got Rachel Rollins. We've got John Rosen, John, Ron Jozen, whatever you want to go with, the Baltimorean. That was the old name.
I love your mustache, by the way. That's great.
Yeah, he's so quickly.
Yes.
Why the mustache? Just so we want to plug.
It's November. Movember.
Right. Movember. Yeah.
Men's health awareness.
But to be clear, like, was that started before November at all? Because thick already.
No, he had a full beard. Every year he does the beard and then he cuts it down to that.
Yeah. If I let it grow throughout November, you wouldn't see a mustache. It takes years to get this far.
It's taken many years to grow to this point. Well, this is the kind of genius you get in a show like this. But anyway, I'm just prefacing because you're gonna hear random voices just pop up in the, you know, in the feed here, and I want you to know who's talking. So that was Ron Jozen. Anyway, where I want to jump in with this, and to your really just focusing around your point of like, it's not the people who are in this are not who you think they are. And the value of the audience is not what you think. I think that a lot of advertisers, because they're stupid, think, yeah, I just said that all of our advertisers are stupid. Whatever. It's not like we need to make a living. Advertisers are stupid. They think that, like, young millennial people, because they don't have the job that their past generation had and because they weren't so easy to pin down, are worthless. They don't want to work as hard to get them. And the reality is, if you look at the gamers, oh my God, most of them are tech savvy. The number of professional athletes that are gamers because they basically have to replay, you know, their own career on a game. The amount of students who are proven to be very high scorers and go to great universities and start their own little leagues in the universities is all over the place. Harvard has a gaming league. Minecraft is one of those things that you look at as like an aptitude test, right? And so to me, if I was going to bet on anybody, it'd be betting on gamers. And not to continue my rant here, but on Saturday, on our live Saturday show on WGN, which you can listen to from 1 to 2 p.m. if you were so inclined on AM 720 or on Alexa by saying, play WGN radio on TuneIn. Just a little plug for myself. But we had a 12-year-old who started a company called Quarters, which is a crypto company for gaming.
Yeah,
and essentially, they make a currency that gamers can use in, you know, independent of platform. They can just use it all across the place, which is tons of stuff. That is your target market. That's a pretty expensive hit if I could land that kid. That's a smart kid with a future, my guess. And so I think that the approach that I'm seeing and why I'm excited about FanHome is the approach I'm seeing is lazy. It's ESPN making the same shit that they made for other sports and putting it out there to a new demographic and telling them, you learn to use this the way you're supposed to. And you guys are creating a completely different experience. Tell me a little bit more about that and why you think that, you know, what you don't like and you're trying to fix.
Yeah, and as far as like ESPN coming into the market, you know, I think it could work in some ways if the goal is to just continue to make this more mainstream and get more eyeballs on the market. I guess that's a positive, but there's something about esports fans that I think ESPN and maybe some other brands haven't picked up on, and it's that this market is really sensitive to bullshit, and they're sensitive to people that are trying to make money off of them. So one of the things that, you know, we're a for-profit business. Like, we are trying to make money off of them, but we're also gamers. So, like, we are authentic in ways that some of those other brands can't be. And we created a really cool brand voice for ourselves. So we have like this blog and this newsletter content that's really witty, and it really goes in depth into esports news. And I've built a team of gamers. So my director of strategy is a semi-pro Counter-Strike player. I got another guy who's logged over 1,000 hours of Dota on his Steam account, another big League of Legends guy. And I'm also working with just very young people that know this audience really well. So we're cultivating an audience for people who want to go to these types of events, and they're going to be sticky to our platform because we know how to talk to them, because we are them. We are the gamers. So I think we're going to be able to do this in ways that ESPN and other platforms probably won't be
able to. So I totally agree with you. I think the biggest disconnect that I'm seeing, not just ESPN, I'm just ripping on them, but it's really, I mean,
it's
I
fun
like,
to rip on them.
I do enjoy ripping on the mothership, but like the majority of what I see out there, and this even includes apps and stuff like that, that like there are some Chicago-based gaming apps that are out there that sort of try to showcase this. There is this fundamental disconnect where people, if you're older, you go, well, what kind of an idiot wants to watch other people play a game? And then there's the people who treat it like it's basically like reporting fantasy numbers, reporting, it's like a stock ticker, ESPN. And one of the things that I think is a huge mistake is that all of the young folks that are playing this, that are your team members, grew up watching their friends play games in front of them waiting their turn. I spent the first like 12 years of my life waiting for the neighbor who was just kick-ass at Madden and FIFA to lose so that the younger me could play.
Yeah.
And you're like rooting against them. You're like passionately in it. Let me just take a shot in the dark here. Imagine if you added that to a huge screen, a million people watching, and I don't know, money. And oh, by the way, there's cryptocurrency now that enables us to do that.
Yeah.
So like you are on like literally the nexus point, the break point of where this whole thing rolls over, and the reason Amazon got involved with Twitch all becomes reality.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people are ignoring that. And so I think one of the things that you do that is interesting and cool is you're not leaving out the one thing everyone else is leaving out, which is the human point.
Yeah.
If you take away that like ribbing and that sort of, you know, it's not competition, but just like experience, the engagement with one another in the game, then it's watching fantasy app, and that's not the same thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, we wanted to create this offline experience. So we started with, as we were kind of pivoting into the esports market, and I could get into the history if you like it. We were not targeting esports at first, but when we thought it was a possibility, we started with a survey, and it went out to like 1,000 gamers in the US, which is more than we needed. And we discovered that there was this huge gap between people who want these social viewing experiences and people who actually go to social viewing experiences. And we hypothesized that that gap was there because nobody's providing those experiences. And we started doing this summer, and I mean, it was so cool. At one of the events, so like at the Dota 2 International at the end of August, we were throwing a viewing party at Highline and River North here in Chicago. And
which has a sweet arcade now.
Yeah, so we were using that whole arcade back area. It's kind of funny. I was a few weeks prior to that, I was just getting a drink with a friend, and we got the tab, and I was using the bathroom before leaving, and I just saw that in the back, and I was like, that's really cool. And
I used to get totally hammered there after my days working at 1871. I would come out of there and go to Highline, and I'm like,
right across the street,
I could game now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
My wife's never going to see me again.
I went up to the bar manager, and I was like, that's really cool. Can we talk about this? And we chatted for a half an hour, and we set up the event. And people, we had like 50 to 60 people come. And there's a team called OG in the international, and that was kind of the crowd favorite. And people were just chanting OG, OG, and it was such a cool atmosphere. And that's when it hit us. It was just like, look, people want something that mimics being at the actual live event. And just like being together with other fans.
Can we create. This is completely off the side of this, but we're going to do it on the show so people already know. So you pretty much don't have a way to say no. So just FYI. Can we partner and do like one of our next, instead of doing a workshop, we'll just do like a happy hour, but it's at Highline and we play, or Barcade or whatever.
Yeah.
And we do some gaming and we run a little co-branded action there. We'll invite all the Technori people to participate and fan home, and we'll figure out how to split it and how to get it, you know, there. But like, if you can help set that up on your side, I'll bring the people.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm game.
Like a video game tournament going on for a while.
Yeah, we were going to try to do it with CPS, bringing kids on Saturdays to Tech Nexus, and it just got too hard to bring people on a Saturday and whatever. But like, I just think it would be so, there's so many founders who are gamers.
Oh, totally.
It would be so cool to get everyone in and be like, hey, let's just go nerd out on some games and get hammered.
Yeah, and
I'm not forcing people to drink, no peer pressure. You can bring tea if you want to.
And it's funny, like we play around with the idea, like, you know, we should do some more like meetups and actually have people gaming and do setups like that. All the stuff has been spectating to date. But we definitely want to get more of like a meetup atmosphere around it, you know, because actually we hypothesized in the beginning, we were like, okay, we're solving this problem. We're like, a lot of gamers maybe don't have friends. Like, there's this Overwatch fan named Dave, and he has nobody to watch Overwatch League playoffs with, so he's going to come to Waterhouse Tavern and Grill to an event, meet his new best friend, and they're going to live happily ever after.
Hypothetically,
that's what we were thinking. But it was more like people were buying tickets to the event in groups of like 2, 3, 4, and kind of sitting at their own tables.
Almost
and groups.
Almost everyone
and
I know, and like just packs. We were talking about this before. There's like different cliques of friends I know that are across an industry, whatever you want to look at it, like have their go-to couple friends, like Matt Staff. Was my go-to, John Lewis and Matt Staff were my go-to gamer friends.
Yeah.
And it would be like, we'd text them at like 11 o'clock at night because I couldn't sleep and I had to get up more. And you'd see their handle pop up on Call of Duty. Like,
yeah,
it's on. Yeah. Private room. Let's weird out on this. Like, whatever. But yeah. One thing I want to switch to before we hang up the show, I want to bring Rachel in, our special marketing guru extraordinaire. You touched on a point that like people don't know necessarily who are the gamers. And I'm just curious, like, I think that there might be, I don't know what the word I'm looking for here, but there's just like this predisposition to thinking it must be just like nerdy guys with Dorito dust.
Mm.
And I don't think that's the case. Rachel, do you know gamers? Like, you're a resident female contributor.
I am the resident female.
Sorry
here,
to put, so in, put you
I'm
in
on
the spot.
Now.
You are on the spot now. But
no,
like, how do you feel about this?
It's not just games or esports. It's also sports. People think that women don't like sports.
Huge Michigan
fan. They only
fan.
Buy jerseys. Yes.
This, just preface this by saying that there's a Michigan fan in the room, so this is probably going to go.
Hey, go blue.
You know, I go blue. There's two Michigan people. I'm screwed.
There we go. And it's my whole life. My dad was very into football. I was raised very into football.
Yeah.
I'm a very intense football fan. And again, people think like, oh, like, I've been asked before, I'd be like, oh, I'm from Michigan. I like the Red Wings. And like, oh, can you name five people on the team? If a man asks that, no one asks him to name five people on any team he says he likes.
Yeah.
And that translates to esports and games too. Mm. You know, oh, well, girls don't like video games. Girls don't play video games.
I got beat by a girl in a video game. My wife beat my ass in Mario before I messed my hand up. Just crushed me.
Yeah. And obviously there's, you know, the culture of a little bit of toxicity towards women in games at some points. Obviously, you know, that's not the case for everybody, but there definitely is that there. So there's definitely this idea that women don't like games or esports, which is totally not true. I'm in my mid-20s. I'm obviously a woman. I bet when I came in here that people didn't assume that I was going to talk about this or know anything about this, which isn't true. But I have a lot of friends who are girls that are into video games. My best friend in college, the first thing we bonded over was our love of Ape Escape. That's how we became best friends in our sorority. We talked about Ape Escape during a charity event, and that's how we became best friends. And if there were, you know, a fan home thing for Overwatch League, which is what I really like to watch, she's the person that I would definitely bring. It would probably be only one or two. Like you said, that only a couple people can come in pairs, but that's probably who I would bring to an event like that.
Yeah. This thing is happening. I'm going to talk to you after the show here. We're going to set this up. I want you to help set up logistically, like where you think we should do it. And we will run an invite and put it on our next event for like, we could even do it by the end, before the end of this year. If you can turn it around, we'll turn it around. Like,
yeah.
I'll get you 60, 70
people. I think Overwatch League will start in January. So we're actually like trying to organize our slate of events for the beginning of the year around Overwatch.
Let's do it. I would love to do like, you can even do like, we've done this before for a different thing. It was March Madness, but it was a tech spin on it, so it wasn't like basketball fanatics like that are easy to get on a Saturday. We can do a Saturday where we come down here and have a midday afternoon games and drinks and whatever type of thing. Let's do it. Let's talk offline. So that's what you guys get. You guys get this. Because
do you have any Smash Bros. Ultimate plans for next year?
we haven't focused on it, but it's potentially in the pipeline.
That's a big one.
What's the big summer Smash Bros. Event? Wow, I'm blanking on it right now. We didn't.
Two nerds, never the two shall meet.
I'm having the worst brain fart right now, but we're thinking next summer we're going to do something big around it. But
very nice.
If you want to help us plan something, you're definitely welcome.
Please, yeah. Smash Bros is my esport of choice right now.
All right. Well, we love taking input from people who like want to see certain types of events, and it gives us an indicator of what people like. But we've been kind of guessing, seeing what works, what doesn't work. And have been kind of adding things and eliminating things as we go along. So
very cool. This is the kind of stuff that can happen on a show like this when you just bring someone in. You're like, you know what? Because of this show, all of you listeners are about to get pinged with an email. If I can figure out my problem with MailChimp, you'll get figured out. Get that figured out. And you're all going to get pinged with an email, and we're all going to go do some gaming and drinking and whatever else. I don't know why everything has to be about drinking, but it just is.
There's usually alcohol at our events, so you're in luck.
That's what I'm saying. We could even get, do you guys remember what's the brewery that we, Low Res? We'll get Low Res Brewery and we can get some booze from Founders. It's a good time. Anyway. I really appreciate you taking the time and coming in here. This was obviously fun for me, but it appears it was fun for my team as well. So, Lucas, thank you so much for taking the time. Where do people go to learn more about Fan Home?
You could go to fanhome.co, which is our website, or you could follow us on Twitter or Instagram at fanhomeco.
Definitely recommend it. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts. Stay connected. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything at technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.